11. First Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 17. It says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before his other his own supper. One is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Just as we had a potluck today after church, we had a potluck lunch, they were meeting together and eating, but it was not a fellowship because they were not sharing what they brought. If they brought something for themselves, they ate it themselves, and someone maybe didn't bring something very special, and that's what they were supposed to eat, and there wasn't any sharing involved. It wasn't any communion at all, and there wasn't any fellowship involved. And tonight I want to talk about fellowship as we talk about the local church that is God's plan for planet Earth, the local church, and the whole concept of the New Testament is in the idea of a local church and a local church body of believers. So tonight we have the opportunity to participate as a local church in a communion service. And it says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, seems like the PA is doing funny things. I don't know if everything's okay now or not. But the true fellowship in the Lord, this idea of a local church concept is for the purpose of fellowship, the concept of fellowshipping, first of all, in the Lord, as we see here. We go to Acts chapter number 2. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 11. We'll go back to there after a while. But Acts chapter 2, we see what started with the first local church and how it blossomed and exploded to so many people getting saved. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." And that would be the word of God today, the inspired scripture as it was being given to them. "And in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." That idea there, the Lord added to the church daily, means that they were daily winning more people to the Lord. They were daily seeing more people getting saved, and they even were daily having baptism. I think there was just so much excitement and things going on that this was quite an exciting time as the church was just blossoming with all the seed that had been sown, and Christ and the disciples in the beginning of the first church, and now it's just blossoming. But it says here they continued, verse 42, steadfastly. That doesn't mean randomly. That means consistently and steadfastly and without any sidetracking in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking bread and in prayers. I don't think that potluck is something you have to go to, but I do think local church is something you should be a part of. The Bible tells us we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And the purpose is for fellowship. I hope that you come early, and that when you come early, you fellowship, you talk to other people. Put that phone away. Surely there's other times you can be on it. And take time to talk to one another and fellowship one another. Hey, Barb, good to see you. We missed you this morning. Glad you're here tonight. And glad to see you up and around. Praise the Lord for that. The opportunity to fellowship afterwards and to give spankings out to Wesley and things like that. That's just what we should be doing before and after. And then in between time and during the week. And one thing I enjoy about our work parties and things that we have is sometimes it's a great time for just people to get together and talk and get to know one another and to fellowship in that way. And you miss out when you think it's just about getting the project done versus actually having a little camaraderie and enjoying the time together. And the opportunity for fellowship is great in church. And God invented that and the idea of fellowshipping. But number one, it's fellowship in the Lord. And as we just read, this do in remembrance of me. Let's not forget back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 10 says in verse 21 that it is the Lord's table. And chapter 11, verse 20 says that it's the Lord's supper. And so it's not by accident that it's also the Lord's day. And I do think that it's appropriate for us to do what we do in the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, on the Lord's day. And fellowshipping in him. He said, this do. So we ought to be doing this. We have folks even from out of town. They're part of another church over in California. Boy, pray for them. They're in California. That's got to be a tough thing. But I appreciate them being here tonight. And they're fellowshipping with us. They belong to a local church in California. I've been to their property before. And I know where they're at. I've heard their preacher preach. And but, you know, our concept here is to fellowship in the Lord. If you're not right with the Lord, then you can't really fellowship in the Lord. Of course, if you're not saved, then really you have no business even participating. If you're not saved, I'm glad you came tonight. You might learn something and you might realize that this is something that I need to know more about and I need to get saved. If you're saved, but maybe you just haven't followed up in baptism. You just haven't obeyed the Lord in following his example of baptism. And maybe you're saved, baptized, but you've just been wandering and you haven't joined a local church of any kind and you're not belonging anywhere. I would encourage you to get those things taken care of. Why? Because we just read tonight that we should examine ourselves. And there's people in this room that heard me talk about this before at a different communion, and I think it was that time that they said, you know what, I need to join the church. It's a fellowship in the Lord. I mean, years ago, we had little kids that lived in our home, last name, my last name. And after communion, they would say, how come, Mommy, you didn't let me take any of that tonight? Well, because you need to be saved. You need to be saved, you need to be baptized, and that needs to be something that happens first. Why? Because this is a fellowship in the Lord. It's not just amongst each other, it's in him. And he said, take this bread. This bread represents my body, which is broken for you. It's the idea of remembering him in the broken body. You know, it's kind of sad that he has to say, this do in remembrance of me. We ought to remember him, shouldn't we? I mean, we're looking at the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, our salvation depends on him. I'm only as saved as Jesus is powerful enough to save. Now, that's powerful enough. My salvation's not in question. But my salvation is dependent on him. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 3 says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. My salvation is in him, and it all depends on him. Christ is my life, and my salvation is only as solid as he is secure. Now, we sang tonight about the anchor. That's why we have Anchor Club. It's about Jesus, the anchor. And my salvation is only as secure as my anchor, but my anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. But we are recognizing him tonight. We're remembering him. This due in remembrance of him. As a matter of fact, our name is after his name, Christian. We're called Christians. And a Christian is not someone who just acts religious. No, a Christian is someone who is in Christ. And the name Christ is in the word Christian. And we are only Christian because of Christ. And so this is a fellowship in the Lord. This is why it's so wrong for people to give communion to just anybody who comes in off the street. It's just wrong. The proper channels is to recognize that a local church that's following the word of God is not going to allow someone to become a part of the church unless they're saved. And since we don't believe that what we are doing tonight with the bread and the grape juice, since we don't believe that that saves people, then by prohibiting them from participating, we're not prohibiting them from being saved. But the Catholics think that this is how they receive Jesus, is through what they call the Mass or the Eucharist or something like that. That has nothing to do with what the Bible teaches. And so this false idea and this backwards thinking is why people are baptizing babies and unsaved people, and people are offering communion to people that have no business taking communion because they're not even the Lord's people, so they shouldn't be at the Lord's table. But you and I, if we're saved, we have opportunity tonight to reflect and to think about our Lord. This do in remembrance of me. Not always do we announce communion. Sometimes we just have it. I don't know that people appreciate that as much, but you know what? Regardless of whether it's announced ahead of time or whether you walk in and see the communion table set up, the attitude should be the same. I'm right with the Lord. We should be prepared to have communion at any time, because shouldn't we be in fellowship with our Lord at all times? But if not, then that's why we have opportunity to get things right and to examine ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. To reflect on some things in our life. I'm not talking about necessarily outward things that most people might recognize, but the stuff on the inside that people don't see. Pride isn't always very readily recognized in other people. But if we're honest, we know we have that. And he knows. And a selfishness and a thought life and just an attitude and things that are behind the scenes that might not be something others can see. But we're talking about a fellowship in the Lord. And of course, as we hear in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Not only is this a fellowship in the Lord, but it's a fellowship in life. Our participation with him in the newness of life. 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. It's full. It's a fellowship in life. Our participation with him in new life, in real life. He that hath the Son hath life. It says over in 1 John chapter 3 verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. I got a question. Do you know you've passed from death unto life? Listen, if you're saved, you shouldn't be able to say, I know I have passed from death unto life. I am no longer on my way to death. I'm on my way to eternal life. I know that I am alive today eternally, and I will be forever alive. Listen to me. The Bible says that we have life. He that hath the Son, chapter 5, verse 11, 1 John 5, 11. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you are saved, you've got life. If you are unsaved, I don't care what you have. What you don't have is life. And every day you're getting closer to eternal death if you are not born again. I'm reminded of the story of a man, and you can look this up. People have done this more than once. A man, wealthy man, decided that when he died, he was going to demonstrate his wealth by being buried in his Cadillac with the engine running and the AC blowing, and he's dressed in his finest suit and, you know, big bills stuffed in his pocket. And they had this huge crane lowering this Cadillac into this huge grave with the AC running, and he's sitting behind it with all of his wealth around him. Two of his friends were standing at the gravesite as the car was being lowered into the grave. And one of them said to the other, "Man, that's living." But isn't that stupid? I mean, whether you're watching someone getting buried or not, it ain't living just because they're enjoying it now. Do you understand? They're on their way to the grave. They're on their way down if they're not saved. I'm telling you, he that hath the Son hath life. I'm telling you, the people ought to look at Christians and say, now that's living. That's living. They're married and happy. What's up with that? Their children are obedient and happy. What's up with that? What's going on? Listen, the world ought to look at you and say, that's living. Why? Because if you have the Son, you have life. And we ought to walk with the understanding and walk in the newness of life. And we should, I'm not saying put on a show, but we should demonstrate. We got something that we don't want to lose. We have life. Pass from death unto life. Together forever. Eternal life. Eternal life. Not temporary, but forever and ever. I know. I've been related to people who had wealth and I know for years they thought that they had life, but honestly, over time, I began to realize that, yeah, their ride is nicer than my ride, but we both get from point A to point B about the same time. And the structure they live in is nicer than the structure I live in on a day-to-day basis, but it both does the same thing. It both keeps us sheltered. But honestly, they're not really living. And there's this outward facade, but inside there's turmoil and divorce and heartache and heartbreak. Listen, this is a fellowship in the Lord, and it's a fellowship in life where we're reminded that because of his death, we have life. Because of him giving of himself, we have life eternal. And that's living. I would hope that when they bury you, that your friends, as they see the testimony of your Christian family and your church family, and they see you being committed to the grave, that your friends would say, that's living. It's a fellowship in the Lord, and it's a fellowship in life, and then also it's a fellowship in light. Back in 1 John chapter 1, we stopped at verse 4. Let's see verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible tells us to walk in the light as he is in the light. Back in a few pages in James chapter 4, verse 17, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you're walking in sin, you're not walking in the light. If you know to do good and you do not do it, it's a sin. It's wrong. It's not walking in the light. I enjoy walking in the light, and I hate it when I'm not walking in the light. I can be saved and still not be right with the Lord. I can be saved and yet get away from the Lord. And here, by the way, fellowship is different than relationship. Relationship is something that you are stuck with from the day you were born. And so forever, I am my father's son, and I'm related to him. And as people have said, you can't pick your relatives. You're stuck with them. You don't always get to pick your relatives. And the same thing with my Heavenly Father. Once I was born again into his family, I have that relationship with my Heavenly Father. But if I disobey my Heavenly Father, that relationship is strained because there's not as close fellowship anymore. I don't lose the relationship. But if I'm not walking in the light as he is in the light, I don't have the fellowship. And the same thing with fellowship with other believers. If you're wrong and you're not right with God and you're out of fellowship with the Lord, you're going to be out of fellowship with other people who are right with the Lord. That is also true. So this is a fellowship in light, because this then is an examination of what we are. Are we walking in the light? Are we right with God? I'm thankful you're here tonight, because this is, if nothing else, a reminder that this is about light. And the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But light is something we need, because it exposes. There's an exposure with light. And light exposes us, and we need it. We need to walk in the light. And you know what happens when you walk in the light? You become a light to other people. You become a reflection of that light to others around you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, and I read it this morning, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so every day, everywhere, we need to be in fellowship in light. I cannot be right with my fellow man if I'm not right with my Heavenly Father. But when I'm right with my Heavenly Father, whether fellow man likes it or not, I'm right with everyone. They might not appreciate the light that exposes, but I'm right with God, and therefore I'm being right with my fellow man, whether they appreciate the light or not. And so it's a fellowship in light. Man needs to see that light. They need to see the light shining. And you probably know this, but I'm going to say it to you anyway. This is a scientific fact. There is a difference between light and darkness. Did you know that? Ephesians 5 says, "Walk as children of light." We ought to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. There's just some things I just don't need to know. Lately, there's headlines that's like, I don't even want to read that. It's not going to do me any good. I just don't need to read that. I don't need to wallow through that. There's a noticeable difference between the children of light and the children of darkness. And those who are walking in the light, there's just something there. This morning in Sunday school, we were teaching on separation. Not only is there a difference between light and darkness, but they don't get along. Darkness and light will not mix. They are separate. Jesus was in the world, but he wasn't of the world. Jesus went and ministered to sinners, but he did not sin with the sinners, nor endorse it or condone it. He was light in a dark world. He was not cool with them, as if he was one of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're talking about this fellowship of light. We need to understand something concerning light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And when Isaiah was in the presence of a holy God, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I am wrong. I am filthy compared to God." He is light. The brightness of God and the holiness of God, there ought to be a holiness about us as believers. And this is also why we have communion, because it helps us to get the things that are not light out of our lives. Walk as children of light, the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." We talk about marriage, and that certainly fits the bill. The children were not in my class this morning, but young people, this certainly can be applied to the idea of being married to someone who is not a Christian. And let's go a little bit farther with that and say someone who claims to be a Christian but is not right with God is not equally yoked either. Don't fall for this compromise that, well, they claim to be a Christian or whatever it might be, or they got a cross tattoo on their neck or something. That doesn't mean they're Christian. We need to recognize that walking in the light means just that. And so if you desire to be separated unto God and walk in the light, God will find you the right person to be yoked with. You don't have to help him. He'll find them, and they will be found, and he will. Why? Because God wants you to find his will and to serve him faithfully and to be happy. I don't believe for one minute that God wants his servants to look miserable. I serve the Lord. I had one prayer answered in 25 years, but I'm faithful. You think that's a good advertisement for God? He didn't want you to be like that. So if you're serving the Lord, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. That's an advertisement. That's a blessing. That's just an example to the people around. Wow, God's blessing. And the children of light, they don't need to walk in the darkness. They don't need to be like the children of the darkness. So don't be unequally yoked together. That means, young people, I was taught, and I think it's just a good idea, no sense dating someone who's not a Christian. And not just not a Christian, but not going to the same kind of church that I go to. And on the same page. Why? Because I don't want to be unequally yoked. Man, I can tell you, I can show you the place. I can take you to the address of a couple where the man was raised in an independent Baptist church and knows all kinds of stuff in his head. Married a Mormon girl. And she dominated the whole situation, and so they never went to any good church anywhere. And I met the parents, and they were just absolutely brokenhearted. I don't know all the details of how that ended up and why that happened, but I can tell you this, somebody forgot to follow the word of God. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I also think you need to be careful concerning partnerships and things like that. Anything. This is why as church and a local church, we need to be aware of who we have as part of the church. We welcome anyone to come into our church and to listen and hopefully get on board. But we're not just so interested in numbers that we're going to overlook the fact that people need to be on the same page. For what fellowship? It says here in verse 14, be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? There are times, and I drive a school bus, and so I still invite unsaved co-workers and talk to unsaved co-workers. And I say, hey, why don't you come to church this week? You going to have beer? Nope. But you know what? I'm still after them. Still try to talk to them. I say, and of course, one of my co-workers does come and say, hey, he came last week. Why don't you come? And this individual needs to get saved, but he's walking in darkness. Now, he'll invite me to go to stuff. No, I'm not going to that. Sorry. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? You're not right with the Lord. What communion do you have tonight with light? It says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That does not mean that we're supposed to never be around the world, but that as individuals, we know where the line is, and we don't cross that line. We know what God would have us to do in reaching the world. In other words, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This does not mean that I'm better than you or that my family's better than you, but just as an example, I'm pretty sure, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Sam and Joshua are not familiar with who, Christy Perry? Yeah. Katy Perry is. Or Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie or whoever else. I don't think they're aware of who those people are. Maybe they are. I don't think they are. Now, you know what? Oh, or the Kardashians. I don't think they are aware of the Kardashians. Maybe you are. Are they missing anything? Are they missing out on anything? Folks, we need to remember that we need to stay unfamiliar with things. The book of Proverbs talks about the strange woman. The book of Proverbs warns about being with a strange woman. You know what the problem with most kids today is? They're familiar with the strange woman. And if you're familiar with her, she's not strange anymore. See, there should be some things that are just strange. That's just different. There's something doesn't ring true there. And I'm going to just steer clear of that. Now, I don't want my kids to be naive and not to be aware of danger. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit of God is there to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. And there are times, young people and old people alike, it is the light within you that's going to say, this doesn't go, light doesn't go with darkness. There's just something wrong here. You might be invited to go somewhere, young people. You might be invited to sit with somewhere to get to know someone. And there's just something saying, this isn't a good match here. And you ought to take it very seriously. Because God's saying, cleanse yourselves from this and get away from this and be clean and be right and be separate. So it is a fellowship in the Lord, and that means it's a fellowship in his life and it's a fellowship in his light. And we should walk as children of light. It's also a fellowship in love. Back in 1 John chapter 3, we read verse 14, but I'll go ahead and finish it. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know, I enjoy as I watch individuals, people in our church, people in this room right now, that you have gotten together with other Christians in our church and you've become friends. And maybe you go out to eat on Sunday afternoon after church, or you just get together for some fellowship and you've become acquainted with other Christians in this church or maybe elsewhere, but particularly in this church, I've observed it. And it's people you otherwise probably would have never met and never known in your life. But because of the Lord and because of the fellowship and love, you've become in love with other people. And if they were to pass away, you would be weeping and you would come to the funeral weeping, but glad that you knew them. That's the beauty of church. That's the beauty of what God has done. It gives us a fellowship in love. Brother Bill is not a member of our church, but he comes here every year. And should he pass away, it would be a time of rejoicing that we knew him and that he had an influence in our life, but also of weeping as well as we think about the fellowship of people that we know and our other missionaries that we participate in and support. It's a fellowship in love. And when you're a Christian, you gain other brothers and sisters that you never had before. And I love to see that. I enjoy that. I'm glad that there are Christians within our church. And if you're not one of them, I hope you realize you're missing out. You should be fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And let me just say this. There's something wrong if you have better relations with people not saved than people who are saved. Something wrong. What's up with that? What's going on? Because if you're sharing the same Savior and you're on the same page, then there's no reason why there isn't an appreciation and a fellowship in love with one another. In fact, Jesus said in John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I think it's wrong that we might have members in our church that other members have no, that you don't know anything about them. We ought to desire to know them and understand and find out what their needs are and learn to pray for them. But if you don't have time, I wonder why. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Well, I'm waiting for them to make the first move. That's not how it works. Our sign of discipleship, according to Jesus, is that we love one another, and by this all men will know. I don't know that this is happening, and I sure hope it's not. But wouldn't it be awful if someone out there was hearing someone in here gossiping about someone else in here? That certainly doesn't tell them you love them. I don't think anyone's doing that, but if, let's say you were, that's you're just hurting their chances of wanting to be a part of a church where they're going to hear truth. We need to recognize that, and Satan loves to break that apart. Our sign of discipleship is our love. You say, but they just rub me the wrong way. You know what I love about church? It puts a bunch of imperfect people all together. And we all rub each other the wrong way. And what you find out when you stop being an introvert and a loner is that you got issues too. And sometimes it only shows up with other people are around. The reason why some people say I'm not a people person is because people start to expose their issues. I know what I'm talking about because I'm an introvert. In my flesh, I'd rather be selfish. But this is a fellowship in love. I love my friend back there, Larry. We were picking on him today. He didn't even know it. We were talking about you today, Larry. He could see us. He was staring at me, and I was waving at him. I'm telling you, Larry and Gene, the story of Ozzy is one of the best stories I've ever heard in my life. And I lived it. And I love that story. But I'm going to tell you right, I think I can say this. There's a lot of people in this room that love Larry and Gene. And there was about 5 years ago, we didn't even know Larry and Gene. And it all starts with him. Because we love him because he first loved us. And as a pastor, I look around at all the different folks in our church, and many aren't here tonight, but I look around and I'm just appreciative, and I love the fact of that God's doing things in your life. And of course I pray, and it was just not too long ago I walked around this room, and I do this once in a while, and I just walked around because most of you sit in the same seat every week. And so I walk around the room and I pray for the people that usually sit in this seat and usually sit in this seat and usually sit in this seat, usually sit in that seat, and I just pray for them one by one. And you know, you could do that too. I know most of you take a turn cleaning as you're vacuuming. Oh, this is so-and-so's role. Please, Lord, please bless so-and-so. And they have a need for them. Pray for them. And it's just something that we all need to remember to do, is praying for one another. It's hard to gossip about someone you're praying for. It's hard to be ugly to someone you're loving. And so our conduct with each other, and that goes back to where we started, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because what was happening in this Corinthian church is they weren't loving each other as much as they were loving themselves. And Paul said in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 11, he said, when you come together, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You are not having a communion service. You're having a potluck without even sharing the food. For in eating, everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one's hungry, and another's drunk. You're not even fellowshipping. He's rebuking them. And so he goes through the whole thing, and he talks about how that, verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And that's what we're supposed to be doing right now. We should be praying, Lord, please, I'm good at pointing out what everybody else's problem is, but Lord, I need you to help me to see me. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, nobody's worthy. We're all just human beings, but unworthily is disrespectfully and not right with the Lord. Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And let me encourage you to not participate tonight if you are just not right with God. Because that's a disrespect to Him. Instead, get right with the Lord. Verse 31 says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we would just take care of business ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If you refuse to get right with the Lord tonight and you just go on your merry way, God will deal with you anyway. You might as well judge yourself rather than let God judge you and chasten you and spank you. So then verse 33 says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry. That means wait one for another. That means be considerate of the other person. I don't know that anybody in here did this today. I'm sure it didn't happen, but be considerate of the other person. It isn't necessary that we all got to have a piece of the chocolate pie that somebody made on the dessert table. Be considerate of the other person. It isn't necessary that we all got everything we want every time we are together. Tarry one for another. Let me encourage you to maybe look around and see if you could sit with someone different than just who you normally sit with and talk to. And maybe pay closer attention and observe that maybe so-and-so maybe didn't bring anything, and maybe they need to bring something the next time, and maybe we encourage, but at the same time, maybe find out if you could be a blessing to them and maybe do something for them. We need to understand that our conduct with each other should reflect the love of Christ. I wish and I hope it will be true again that people would leave our church and say, oh, I just love going there. It's my favorite place to be. Like we were saying this morning, it's a haven for believers. I just love being there because I'm encouraged and I just love being where I'm loved and appreciated. Wouldn't it be sad if they feel that somewhere else other than here? The little goober that sang a solo this morning is not an angel. But I wanted her to know I appreciated her today. And when I see her tomorrow, I'll tell her that was a blessing. And I want to encourage her. And we need to be in love with one another. I have a tendency myself to point out all the things that somebody did wrong. I'm good at that. My wife will tell you, and I know it. But I also want to make sure I say at times, hey, that was a good job. And you did a good job, and that wasn't your fault. Our conduct with one another. And then Hebrews chapter 10 along the same lines, and we've seen this before, but Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25, and let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. It's what I was just talking about. We need to realize, you know what? We need to figure out how to encourage them to do what they ought to do. And then it goes into that verse where we've talked about before, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Let's say that you know everything. Mr. Spear thinks I'm talking about him now. Let's say that you know everything. You've heard everything, and you know everything in the Bible there is to know. You've heard every sermon on every passage there is to hear. So why should you have to go to church? Why do you need to attend the meeting? I'll tell you why. Because it will provoke someone else. It will encourage someone else. And we need to consider that it's not always about us. In fact, it's not about us. You know how I know that's true? You know how I know that's the right way to think? Because the Lord Jesus Christ fellowshiped with the first church and He did know everything. And yet, He was patiently teaching and bringing those along. And even if you've heard the message before, or you've heard the passage preached before, or whatever it might be, I hope that you'll realize, boy, there's somebody else that's probably sitting here that needs to be encouraged and needs to hear this. And when we have these young goobers that come to church, and I appreciate it, I've seen people doing it, and it's a blessing. We're bringing in new children to church. And I appreciate people getting up and sitting with them and sitting among them and encouraging them. Well, I didn't come to church to be a babysitter. Maybe you didn't, but God made you one. And there's a reason. It's good for you and it's good for them. It's a fellowship in love. When it's a fellowship in the Lord, it's a fellowship in life, it's a fellowship in light, and it's a fellowship in love. And as we participate in the communion service tonight, it's our opportunity to examine ourselves. Ross just joined the church today. Asked to be a member. We know he got saved back in April. We saw him get baptized. And in fact, his father came and watched and got saved that day and got baptized a few weeks later. But maybe you're not. Maybe you're not a part of a local church. Let me encourage you to do that. If no other reason, that's why you needed to come tonight to hear that. You need to be part of a fellowship of believers. And if you already are, as our guests are from California, they don't need to join our church tonight to participate with us. They are already members of that church, I believe, and that's between them and God and that church. But as a pastor, I just want to tell you that I don't think it's right to participate in communion if you're not right with the Lord, if you're not faithful and belonging to the Lord's house somewhere. You ought to just wait and get that taken care of. Especially if you're not saved. That's the first thing that needs to be done. You need to be born again. This will do you no good tonight in participating in communion if you're not saved. And if you're not examining yourself and judging yourself, God's going to have to judge you. Don't do that. Examine your own heart. So we're going to take a few minutes to do that, to talk to the Lord. Maybe God spoke to you tonight about something. And maybe it's time for you to talk to him.